Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. We are talking about the church and the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and he has found his dwelling place within his body, individually and corporately. So when you and I are born again of the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ comes to live inside of us via his Spirit. But then we're added to the body of Christ. And so corporately, we become the dwelling place of God here on earth. Yes. We're called the temple. We're called the body of Christ. And what defines us as a body, as an organism, is this new covenant that Jesus ushered in through his shed blood on the cross. So not only did he die to take away our sins, he died to ratify a new covenant.
Yes.
A covenant does not go into effect until the one who made it died. We know that from our own legal system here in the United States and in Canada. You have a will, and that will directs what's going to happen to your assets upon your death. But that will doesn't go into effect until you die. Well, that's the way this new covenant was when Jesus died. His blood ratified that covenant and ushered it in. And that covenant, that new covenant, defines us today, not only individually, but as a body of believers. We really are new covenant.
Yes.
So in Hebrews chapter 8, the writer had this to say about this ministry of the new covenant. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs. And he's talking about Moses, the Levitical priesthood. So the ministry of Jesus is far superior to that of the Levitical priest. And he says, just as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one. Why? Because it is founded on better promises. The church of Jesus Christ is standing on these better promises. And these better promises are shaping us as a body of believers. And here's what those promises are. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. And if you mark your Bibles, I would certainly encourage you to mark this passage. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. So this new covenant has been talked about for many, many years. Jeremiah yes. talked mm-hmm. about it. Ezekiel talked about it. So it's not something that's new, but it was something that was anticipated. I think every generation, once they heard the prophecy of the new covenant, every generation after that was looking forward to its fulfillment.
Yes.
Are we the generation in which this new covenant is going to come about? And in Christ, it came about. And so when he stood there with his disciples on that Last Supper, he raised the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." He was making the announcement that yes. the new covenant has now arrived. And it really did arrive that next day when he mm-hmm. died on a cross. But he says, "I will make a covenant with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord." And here are the promises. He's going to put his laws in our hearts and write them on our minds. That's promise number one of this new covenant. The old covenant didn't promise that. The laws were written on stone, so it was external. So what's the difference between the old and the new? The fact that the old was external, the new is internal. God's doing something on the inside of each and every one of us. He's going to be our God, and we will be his people. This isn't an if-then promise at all.
Yeah.
It's simply, I'm going to be your God.
Yes.
It's a declaration. And so we can count on that. Why? Because God is faithful. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. You know, God has deposited into the body of Christ a knowledge of himself. What differentiates us from every other group in the world is we have the true knowledge of God that has been revealed to us in the person of Christ Jesus. That's incredible. And that's what holds us together as a body. Not all the methods and the things that we do, but the fact that we know God. We know that he is love. We know that he is grace. We know that he is truth. We know that he has declared us to be righteous, has taken away our sins. That's what we know, and it's that truth about the gospel that holds us together. That's the tie that binds. And then he says, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." That's what all these other promises rest upon, the fact that Jesus has taken away our sins once and for all. And because he has taken away our sins, we can extend forgiveness one to another. So the fact that we, as a body of believers who are new covenant, who are resting in the forgiveness of God, that enables us to pass on that forgiveness one to another. And that is so vitally important within a body of believers. Are we going to hurt each other? Absolutely. But because of the shed blood of Christ, we can extend forgiveness one to another. Now, by calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and aging will soon disappear. So that old covenant had a purpose, but just as the moon, you can still see that, you know, up in the sky in the early morning hours, it is paled by the glory of the sun. That's the way this new covenant is. It's like the sun, and when we see that, the other just fades away. And that's what he's saying. And it should. Why? Because this new covenant is superior. It's better. That's what defines us as individual believers. That's what defines us as the body of Christ.
Indeed. One of the great things about this, you've got to know that when God gives a promise, this is a statement of fact. It's not a statement of, well, one of these days you will. It is, as soon as I become a child of God, this is a present reality in me and in all other children of God. That's what makes us tick. This is the only way to live right here.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. We invite you to join us right now. If you have a question about the new covenant, about what it means to be involved in the church of Jesus Christ, being a member of the body of Christ, if you have a situation, a personal situation that you would like to discuss, we invite you to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. We're talking about the new covenant, and I'll just point out a resource that we have. It's a Bible study guide called The New Covenant Journey. It's the first in our Basic Gospel Study series, and it's designed to connect you to the love of Jesus Christ. So if you're looking for a Bible study that will get you grounded, that will help you refocus on the person and work of Jesus Christ, I certainly recommend this. It's The New Covenant Journey, and it's available at basicgospel.net. Well, let's start today in O'Fallon, Missouri, and our friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, good afternoon. You know, yesterday a lady called in, talked about Matthew 28:19, and then through the course of conversation you went into Ephesians 4:11. I'll try to make this really quick. It was very, very important, and I think it's very important for anybody listening, especially pastors, that a pastor, elders, whatever your leadership looks like, their main function in oversight is to equip the body. And unless the body's equipped, they can't do anything. And what is this equipping? It's exactly what you're talking about. Jesus, what his ministry was, what he's doing in our life as our life, what the new covenant's all about. That's what people in the body of Christ are to be equipped with so they can take that message forward and minister that message within the body of Christ. And I'll get off the phone and let it open up another line and let you guys talk about that.
Well, thanks, Brad. We certainly appreciate your comments today. You know, I think as Jesus stood with his disciples and he said, "All authority's been given to me, and you know, go therefore and make disciples, teaching everything that you've heard from me, baptizing people in the name of the Lord." That's part of the role of the church. Those 12 disciples, they were the early formation of this church. And as the head, Jesus as the head, he was instructing the body on what its mission was in the world at large. And so we have these gifts within the body. You know, there's the apostle, there's the prophet, there's the evangelist, there's the pastor teacher. Those are all gifts to the body to equip the body to carry out its work in this world at large. And the body, it's the church's commission to take this message out there, to teach the good news of Jesus Christ. And we've been given the authority to do that by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. That's incredible to think that we are a part of this wonderful work that God is doing in this world, that God could somehow use me and to use us corporately to share his love and grace and mercy to the world at large.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to White Plains, New York, and talk with Phil. Hi, Phil.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for your program. I listen all the time, and I'm very grateful to you guys.
Well, thank you, Phil.
My question, you know, I was delivered from a sexual sin that I was addicted to for a lot of years. God brought me to this repentance. I started reading the Bible. He brought me to an incredible repentance and, you know, changed my life, turned my world upside down, took the, you know, opened my eyes to the sin that I was committing and just changed my life. I was born again. I'm on fire for Christ now. That's all I think about, and I'm very, very grateful and humble. I'm a different person. I wouldn't dare do that sexual sin anymore. But then I have, you know, for instance, my wife, who's a Christian, she's not born again. She, you know, the way I look at it, you know, you have to have faith and believe. Then you have to have repentance. And then you have to try to live a holy life, or God helps you to live a holy life. To me, that's the process to get eternal life. Tell me if I'm wrong. I see my wife only as being not being born again. She has faith, she believes, but she hasn't gotten to the repentance part. Since, you know, I hate to say it, we're Catholics, and a lot of Catholics don't read the Bible. You're not encouraged to read the Bible. It's only when you start reading the Bible that you could actually, you know, examine yourself and see what the Bible says versus what you're doing in your life. So my wife doesn't read the Bible. A lot of us who are Catholics don't read it. And I think that's why she has not gotten to the repentance part. So my question is, if she dies having faith but not having repentance, having repented, does she go to heaven? And I'm sorry for the long-winded.
Well, Phil, it's all about new birth. I mean, we're born again by the Spirit of God. Without new birth, no one enters the kingdom, and so it takes that new birth.
Well, that's what the Bible says. You must be born again.
Absolutely. So without new birth, there's no new life. And if there's no
new
life,
what you're saying is you could have faith, but if you don't repent. You could believe, and if you haven't repented, then you don't go to heaven. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is there needs to be a crossover, and repentance is simply a part of that process. Salvation is by grace through faith, and repentance is just an element of that faith that the grace of God works in our lives. So if it's just grace by itself, then it's just out there. But if it's by grace through faith, then there's something that happens inside of us, and that's new birth. We cross over from death to life. So only those who are alive in Christ are going to be with him forever. They're the ones that are going to be in his presence forever. Everyone else is just going to remain dead spiritually. That's how we come into this world, dead spiritually. And if we don't receive the life of Christ, we're just going to remain dead, and that's going to be our eternal state. And that's not a good state to be in, I'm here to tell you. But so as far as your wife is concerned, just like you needed to be born again, she needs to be born again. And that only takes place by grace through faith. So if I'm in your shoes, I certainly pray to that end. And I maybe open up the Bible with her and say, you know, honey, I was fascinated by reading this passage. Could you read it and let me know what you think? And maybe that can open some discussion. So
Yeah, there doesn't need to be.
That's a great point. Thank you.
Yeah, there doesn't need to be any fear and judgment of this. She's your wife. She loves you. You love her. How can you not share Jesus with her? It's not a question of, honey, I'm afraid you're going to hell. It's like Bob said. Honey, I just found this passage, and it just speaks volumes to me. What do you have to say?
You'd be surprised the persecution that I'm going through, because she feels very threatened by the fact that I'm born again and that I'm reading the Bible. And
well, she
a
probably
change. I'm a different person. I'm encouraging my children.
Well, here's what she probably thinks, Phil. Here's probably what she thinks, and it's not true, but this is her perception. She thinks that you think that you're better than she is.
That's correct. That's
okay.
True. Yeah, those are some of the things that she says. That's
okay.
Right.
So how do you work through that? That's the issue. That's the barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to trust the Lord to give you some words, to give you some actions that show to her that that's not true, that's
right.
Not true at all, that the same life that you have is available to her, that the only way you receive that is not by being good, not by being better, not by doing good works. The only way you received it is because you were humbled by your own circumstances, and you came to the point and realized if there was any hope for you, it was going to have to come from outside of yourself.
Jesus.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let me do this, Phil. We have a couple of wonderful resources that I want to send you, and I would encourage you to give those to your wife and just let her read.
Thank you.
And I think they might be helpful to her, okay?
No, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
You hang on, Phil. We'll get your information and get those on their way. Thanks for your call. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We're actually sending Phil a copy of a booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. You know, that's one of the big obstacles that we have as far as actually paying attention to the gospel message. We're afraid that God's going to punish us. So when we realize that God's already done something with our sins through Jesus' death, that kind of eases the tension and diminishes
the fear.
That's right. Diminishes that anxiety that we have and helps us to start paying attention. So this booklet, and we also have a CD called Drive the Stake, which is really a pretty solid gospel presentation that talks about the assurance that we can have in Christ. So that's what we're going to send them. Those resources are available at basicgospel.net for you as well, if those are of interest to you. Well, let's go to Flower Mound and talk with Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
We're doing fantastic. Glad to hear from
Good.
You.
Hey, well, glad to talk with you. So just a quick question from your earlier conversation on Old and New Covenant. I actually had this question given to me by someone here at my church recently, and they were saying out of Matthew chapter 5 that Jesus says that nothing will change in the law because it doesn't change till heaven and earth pass away, and that we're supposed to keep the commandments of the old covenant law. What would you guys say in response to that?
Well, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, how's that working for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would answer it this way. I mean, the law's purpose still remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spiritual purpose to that law. Paul explains that purpose in several places. And that law is simply to diagnose the problem. So it's much like, an X-ray machine, an MRI, some of the medical tests that are given today. they're not curative. They don't solve the problem. They simply identify the problem, and that the purpose of those machines remains the same. And that's true of the law. The purpose of the law never changes. And the reason is because there's many lost people out there that need to know their condition apart from Christ. So we let the law remain as it is, but the law doesn't save anyone. That takes the grace of God, the power of God, the resurrected life of God. And once that salvation has occurred, the law gives way to the person of Jesus Christ expressed in the Holy Spirit. So we're led by the Spirit of God.
So, so somebody said, hey, Jesus told us we have to keep these commandments, that you'd respond back and say what? What would be a good response to that too?
Well, the commandment to love. I think the commandments really are faith, hope, and love. When God writes his law on our hearts and in our minds, he's not writing the Ten Commandments. He had already written those on stone. What he's writing in our hearts is faith, hope, and love. That's this new life that we are to live. So as we respond to God in faith, as we abide in Christ, what we're going to see is the love of God being expressed through us. That transcends the law. It supersedes the law. For example, the law says don't commit adultery, but nowhere in the law does it say to love your wife as Christ loved the church. So you can be keeping the law externally, yet missing the mark as far as loving your wife as Christ loved the church goes. And that takes spiritual.
Yeah, and that's what the writer to Hebrews, of the Hebrews, was talking about in Hebrews 7. We read Hebrews 8 where he states the new covenant. But in Hebrews 7, when he's comparing Jesus to Melchizedek, he says, look, Jesus is a new high priest, and the law says nothing about high priests from the tribe of Judah. So if the high priesthood is changed, then the law must of necessity change along with it. Well, that doesn't mean the law was ever thrown out, but we've now changed from an exterior thou shalt not basis to an interior let me love through you basis.
That's good. Look at that. You guys are so smart and handsome to boot.
Yeah, faces for radio right here.
Just keep emphasizing that handsome part, Jason. We appreciated you being on the program with us a couple of weeks ago. We've had just wonderful comments about you being with us, and several folks said, hey, you need to get that guy to come on with you guys again.
Well, I enjoyed it. I'll come back again. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks for your call. Let's quickly go to Kenny in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Kenny.
Good afternoon to you folks. Again, I love your program. I learned so much, and take it to heart. My question today is, when the second coming comes, are we all going to be taken up in the air and become spiritual beings, or is this going to be folks still here on earth in the physical bodies?
Well, this new body that we're going to get, it's a spiritual body, but it has a physical part to it. I mean, we'll be able to recognize one another. I mean, we'll be able to touch and feel and all of those sort of things. I mean, Jesus's body was the model for that. The same type of body that he had once he was raised back to life, that's the type of body that we're going to receive. So it's physical. And our eternal dwelling place, you know, we talk about heaven and we talk about this realm elsewhere, but when you look at the Word of God, especially in the book of Revelation, you see this new Jerusalem coming down and filling the earth, basically. And that's where we're going to be. So this new earth is going to be, or earth is going to be restored to what it was in creation. And that's what we're going to inhabit as these physical spiritual bodies that God's going to give us through resurrection. Well, Kenny, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. We certainly appreciate those who joined us on today's broadcast, Brad, Phil, and Jason, as well as Kenny. It's always just a great opportunity to interact about the things of the Lord through this broadcast. So thanks for joining with us today. This is Basic Gospel. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition. Until then, we invite you to take a look at our website at basicgospel.com. www.thebiblecompass.net. You'll find wonderful resources right there. We'll see you tomorrow.